1 minute until showtime.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And man, oh man, is it getting close. And it's getting closer and closer and closer as we are inching. I think, believe we are just, what, 15 days away, 16 days away, something like 16. That from the NFL draft, yep. 16 days away from the NFL draft, as we are now starting to narrow it down to who we think the New York Jets are going to take in regards to their sixth pick. We've heard so many different opinions, people talking quarterback, people talking outside linebacker, people talking, you know, defensive end, people talking wide receiver, so many options, so many different things the Jets could do with that pick. I mean, this draft is going to be very telling on the future of the Jets because it's going to decide what direction they're going in, because you don't get to pick six very often unless your franchise is in a disarray, if you put it. But I want to remind everybody out there that Jet Nation Radio is proudly sponsored by Mile Social. Mile manages your social media so you can focus on running your business. Please visit milesocial.com for more information. So joining us in about probably in the next 10 minutes or so is going to be Scott Wright from Draft Countdown. He studies the draft. You know, this is his life. This is what he does, draftcountdown.com. He's going to be joining us. He has the countdown on his website. It's actually 15 days, 23 hours, 57 minutes, and 27 seconds. So with that being said, you know, it's interesting. You know, when he gets on the air, we're going to ask him about, you know, his selections and, you know, what, you know, his thought process is. I mean, he's got pretty commonly here Jameis Winston going number one, Leonard Williams going number two to Tennessee, Jacksonville going with Dante Fowler at three, the Oakland Raiders taking Kevin White, and the Washington Redskins picking Marcus Mariota, which I agree with that pick. I think Washington's going to go in that direction as well. But then he has the New York Jets taking a guy I've barely even, you know, I don't even know who he is, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. Is Alvin Bud Dupree, the outside linebacker from Kentucky. You know, I need stats guy. Can we look up the last time a first-round pick, a football first-round pick out of Kentucky was? I mean, I would love to hear that one. I don't know when the last time a first-rounder was selected out of Kentucky football. But that's an interesting move. I mean, the reasoning he has behind it here, it's obviously he makes it clear that he's not a household name. But he's probably going to come off the board earlier than expected, quite possibly in the top 10, an explosive athlete with a terrific blend of size and speed. So, first off, Joe, I mean, you're a bigger draft guy. What do you think of this guy that, Scott Wright has the Jets taking?
Bud Dupree, you know, he's – it seems like what's happening right now is basically that a guy like Shane Ray is really falling down boards and Bud Dupree is rising up boards. And I think that – from what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've seen in scouting reports that people have written, it seems like Bud Dupree is kind of like a maybe like a 12 to 17 type of guy. I don't think the Jets should take him necessarily at six, because if you're at six, and I'm going to ask Scott Wright about this in a little bit, but one of my worst case scenarios, a guy Kevin White would still be on the board, a guy like Brandon Scherff would still be on the board, even a guy like Gregory who has drug problems, and I think he's going to slip past the Jets just because of some of those problems. But any of those guys, I would definitely take over Bud Dupree. He has all the honestly, other than probably Gregory and Beasley, he probably has one of the best physical tools out of the entire draft. He's 270 pounds. I believe he ran like a 4.56 or something like that, which is, you know, a really good time for a big guy like that. He's just very raw. you know, he's been moved around a lot. He's like an inside linebacker, I believe, and then D-tackle, then DN. So he doesn't have a lot of experience at outside linebacker, but people think that if he could really hone in at one position, that he could be a really good guy. People have questions about, you know, how fast he can diagnose, you know, play action, run, pass, and things like that. But I don't think I would take him at six, with, who would be available. So, you know, it's very interesting. People have a lot of different takes. You know, nobody knew that Geno was going to fall, like I always say. Nobody knew that the Dolphins were going to trade up for Deion Jordan. So anything can happen right now. A lot of Jets fans were upset, and a lot of Jets fans try to take credit and say that they weren't upset with the Sheldon Richardson pick. I can admit I was there, and I wasn't too thrilled with the pick. I wasn't pissed, like, as pissed off as some other people, because I realized we had some you know, needs at defensive line, not like we have now, but I thought there were some better people there. An expert, and look what Sheldon Richardson turned out to be. He might be the second best player on our team to Darrelle Revis right now. At least you can argue it. He's definitely in the conversation. So
I mean, what I'm looking at right now, if you're, look at it based off of schools. I mean, I'm looking at Kentucky right now. The players that are currently in the NFL, you got Randall Cobb, who was a second round pick, John Connor, the Terminator, who was a fifth round pick, Stevie Johnson was a seventh round pick. Then the rest, nobody knows who they are, so they don't matter. You look at these guys. You know, this is not a household name for football. I mean, if we were talking hoops, I think you'd be looking at the first 10 picks would all be Kentucky players. But I mean, when you look at you know, Dupree, I'm actually reading as you're talking, Joe. You know, a lot of people are saying that this guy could sneak. Well, I didn't even know who this guy was until I saw this draft board. I'm reading here, and a lot of people, in terms of like John Clayton, they didn't even have this guy in the first round until recently that he, you know, had become a first round prospect. So if Amari Cooper is on the board and the Jets take Bud Dupree, I mean, I think that the Jets fan will just pull the rest of the hair out of their head. I don't know about you know, in terms of listen, by no means am I an NFL draft guru. Okay, I'm not an ins and out type of guy. I don't study the draft. Like a college scout or like an NFL scout more. But when you look at players that you know, I mean, you got to come out. If you got a top six pick, if you're in the picking in the top 10, really, if you got a top 10 pick, you need to pick a playmaker that's going to change your franchise. You need to pick someone who's going to walk through those doors, immediately step on the field and start, and immediately become a playmaker. If you're picking in the middle to late first rounds, you know, you might not see a guy who's going to be an immediate playmaker and jump to number one on your depth chart. When you're picking six, you better draft somebody who's going to jump to the top of your depth chart. I mean, if you have to be able to pick an NFL-ready player. That's why you're picking at six, because you don't have enough NFL-ready players, because you're in this position in the first place. That's why Tampa Bay is going to start with Jameis Winston, because they need a quarterback. So if you're the Jets, I mean, it's an interesting pick. It could be one that would, you know, surprise a lot of people, but I just don't see them going in this direction with a risky player like this at six, when you have so many more NFL-ready players on the board.
You know, he has the potential to be one of the best, but right now you can't just work off of potential, like you said. You want a guy, I believe, I've had his mock draft a couple of days ago, and Brandon, I don't know if you have it on the screen right now, but I believe he had Amari Cooper at 7 or 8. So I would agree with you that if Amari Cooper was still there.
He's got Amari Cooper... Amari Cooper at 7 to the Bears. I mean, you can't cannot make that move. I mean, that's
honestly, and in my mind right now, I know that Leonard Williams is going to go. I know that that Jameis Winston's going to go. You know how I feel about Mariota. I wouldn't be mad if we took him at 6. But in my mind right now, you know, it's probably Fowler and Beasley and Cooper are a very close second for who I want to choose out of the entire draft. So for Cooper to be there and to take a guy who, you know, he could potentially be the third rusher taken past Beasley and Fowler. And it could be, you know, Dupree and then a guy like Ray and then a guy like Gregory to see how it shakes out. But, you know, I understand the need that the Jets have at outside linebacker position. I know it's a big need, and we haven't had a rusher since you know, a great edge rusher since John Abraham left. But I rather, and also on top of that, Brandon, I do understand that there, it's not overly deep at outside linebacker. There's not a whole bunch of guys even in the second round. If a guy like Eli Harold gets taken too early in the second, we might lose out on a lot of these guys. But I'd rather just not reach. And obviously, in the perfect situation, we get an outside linebacker, and then this draft is very, very deep with, well, not very deep, but it's pretty deep with wide receivers. So I feel like we get a wide receiver later. But you know, a guy like Bud Dupree, like I said, I'm not too sure about it. But honestly, he studies tape more than me and you do combined, and times 10. You know, so we'll ask him on his opinion on that. I'm very excited to see what he thinks about that.
Right.
Yeah, I know, and I know you're going to ask him about Mariota, because, you know, I know how you are with Mariota. Even though you kind of came to the dark side a little bit with me, I know at first you were, you know, very excited about Mariota, but you kind of, you know, I think read some scouting for maybe watch some film on him.
First of all, I don't watch film. I'm not a nerd like you, okay?
Film on football?
Yeah, any person who watches outside of game, any person who watches film outside of watching that doesn't work for a team, you would be classified as a football nerd. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. If you sit on a Friday night and pop in films of Marcus Mariota.
Wait, Brandon, let me defend myself. Let me defend myself here. You got to let me defend myself, because I believe when you asked me if I watch film, and I told you I actually do, I believe I said that I was at work sometimes. I do it because there's nothing else to do. My Friday nights, I believe that we were just talking about, you know, going out to a place called Red Bank in right next to my house. So I go out on weekends, but when I'm bored at work, I watch some film. I understand.
So technically you get paid to watch film then. So that's good. So at least you're getting paid to watch NFL film. That's good. Well, you know, Joe, we were talking about draft countdown. We were talking about Dupree. So let's bring in the man who has the mock draft up. Calling us from draft countdown is Scott Wright. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Scott, so we were just talking about it. And, you know, I am not anywhere near your league in terms of the NFL draft. I'm one of those guys who – you know, uses the NFL draft as an excuse for football, sits and cheers, and pretends like I know what I'm talking about. So I saw the top six picks here, and I looked at your mock draft, and I couldn't ask but, you know, in my head just go, who is Alvin Bud Dupree? So you have the Jets taking him at six. Explain, please.
Well, and just as a player, I think the need for another pass rusher with the Jets early on is obvious. I think that's going to be a priority for them. And Bud Dupree is going to go earlier, I think, than most expect. I mean, this is a really good football player. He's 6'4", 269, a 270-pounder. So it's not like he's a Vic Beasley type who's 240. He ran a 4.56. He's an incredible physical specimen, legitimate guy who can play either with his hand in the dirt as a 4.3 end or standing up as a 3.4 outside linebacker. Reminds me a little bit of a Khalil Mack type of player, and I think he was underutilized to a certain degree in college. They kind of moved him around a lot. He wasn't able to really focus on mastering the nuances of a single position, and I think his best football is still ahead of him, and he gets underrated a little bit because he didn't play at a big-time college power, even though he was technically in the SEC. He does have that experience against elite competition, but I think if he's a guy that if he were at Alabama or Florida or another school, people would know, would have much more recognition of him. But like I say, I think he's definitely going somewhere in the top half of the first round, and I'd bet the back end of the top 10.
Okay, that's a very interesting answer. I definitely wanted to hear your take on that. But first of all, thank you again for joining us tonight. You know, it's a very exciting time for Jets fans. You know, we're 16 days away, or actually technically 15 days away and a couple hours. But I wanted to start off with a two-part question. The first question is, if you were, you know, in my version of the worst-case scenario for the Jets at six, me and Bram were just talking about it, would be basically if Fowler was gone, Beasley was gone, Winston was gone, and then Cooper and Leonard Williams are gone. You know, who would you take out of guys who, you know, you'd figure that would be there and worth the pick out of White, Brandon Scherff, Gregory, and then a guy you even talked about in Dupree, who, you know, he had, like I was saying with Brandon, he has all the physical tools and he was moved around a lot at Kentucky, but there's still definitely some big questions about his
his ability to read a play. So out of those guys, who do you think you'd take for the Jets?
Well, I always say the golden rule of the NFL draft is unless you have a franchise quarterback, you don't pass on one. So if by some chance either Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota fell into the Jets' lap, I would take that chance every day of the week and twice on Sunday if I were them. Assuming the quarterbacks are gone, of that group you mentioned, I'd probably go with the guy I gave them my mock, Bud Dupree. I like Gregory, who might be the pure pass rusher in this draft, but I just think his off-the-field concerns, his maturity issues would probably scare me away, especially when a guy like Dupree is still on the board. When you have somebody with a relatively similar grade, I would err on the side of caution in that case. Now, Gregory, if you get to a point in the middle of the first round and all the top pass rushers are gone and Gregory's still sitting there, then that's a different story. Yeah. But I think where the Jets are at six, I think they're going to have other good options that they don't necessarily need to go out on that limb. But and I think, too, Bud Dupree kind of fits the type of player that Bowles is looking for with his size. He's a bigger guy, much bigger than someone like Vic Beasley or even Gregory. He's got about 30, even 40 pounds on almost 40 pounds on Gregory. And I think 30 on guys like Shane Ray and Vic Beasley. But the Jets, the one thing, too, to keep in mind is Todd Bowles, when he was in Arizona, he was able to kind of manufacture a pass rush. They never had an elite 15-sack-a-year type of talent coming off the edge, but he was able to find guys in the third, fourth round, like the Sam Achos and the Alex Okafors, and get pretty good production. And with the Jets' defensive line, it's going to make things even easier for the linebackers. So I wouldn't be shocked if Todd Bowles looked at the situation and said, yeah, I agree we need a pass rusher, but maybe I can find one later. Let's go with the quarterback or maybe address another need at number six. So even though I do think pass rusher is going to be their top priority and that's what I had in their mock draft, I wouldn't be shocked if they went in another direction. But I think quarterback should be the top priority for every team at every level of football. But I wouldn't put wide receiver in the mix for the Jets. I really wouldn't. And I understand Brandon Marshall isn't a long-term solution, but I just think there's so much depth at wide receiver in this class, and you're going to be able to get a really good one, maybe even a first-round talent in the second round or a second-round talent in the third round. Now, it's not quite to the level we saw last year, which was kind of a historic class of pass catchers, but it's still pretty darn good. And one realization I had while working on this latest mock draft is teams were basically getting guys in late round two that they were also considering in late round one. So anybody that tells you this isn't a strong draft, I wouldn't believe it. I think there's plenty of talent and there's going to be good wideouts available, especially it's one of the strongest positions in this class. I would wait. I would take advantage of that depth and address another position early, because pass rushers, there's a bunch of them at the top of this draft, but they're going to go early and often, and that resource is going to dry up quickly because every team is always looking for somebody who can get after the quarterback. So I don't know if I'd be looking wide out if I were the Jets. I think my priorities would be plan A, quarterback if possible, otherwise plan B, best pass rusher available.
Okay, so now on the flip side of that, I definitely agree with you, and a lot of Jets fans definitely want that outside linebacker because the Jets really haven't had a great outside linebacker since John Abraham. So am I on the flip side of the worst case scenario? My best case scenario is basically that Mariota, Winston, both Cooper and White and Leonard Williams are gone, and then the Jets have both Fowler, who I'm absolutely infatuated with. You know, I love Fowler, and then a guy like Beasley, who you know was a mid round talent and then really shot up the boards after the NFL scouting combine. So if you're sitting at six and you have a choice between Fowler and Beasley, who are you taking if you're Mike Maccagnan?
Well, and that's an interesting the two players, because I don't think there's that much of a drop off between those two, honestly. And I like Dante Fowler. On paper, he looks like a top five overall pick, but watching him on tape, I just did not see him be as consistently as disruptive as you'd expect from guy with that much talent, with that prototypical blend of size and speed. And don't get me wrong, I think Fowler's a heck of a player. I just see him as more of a Derek Morgan type. He might be an 8-sack-a-year type of player instead of 15-sacks-a-year. So value-wise, I've kind of maintained all along that I would rather have Bud Dupree maybe the back end of the top 10 early in the teens than take Dante Fowler in the top, say, 3 to 5 overall. I just don't know that I see Fowler as a top 3 to 5 overall impact type of player, even though he certainly has the potential to do that, and I think he's going to go. I think the Jets are probably his absolute worst-case scenario, and he could go as high as number 2 or number 3 overall. But I think the reason Fowler is kind of considered the number one in this class is because he's the safest of that group, along with Dupree and Beasley and Shane Ray and Fowler. Even though he might not have as high of an upside as some of them, I think he's got a higher floor. You know, at the very least, you're going to get a good, solid, all-around player and contributor, even if it's not a 20-sack-a-year type player.
You know, everyone, you know, in terms of the NFL, looks at this offseason, and you're seeing trades be more, more often than not in terms of, you know, team swapping players, draft picks. The NFL used to, you know, people used to joke about it being the no trade league, and every year it seems like we're getting more and more trades. Do you think that this draft is going to be filled with more teams moving up and down and making trades than any other draft we've seen?
Yeah, I think so, especially at the top. I think we're going to see a trade in the top five. I think somebody is going to trade up for Marcus Mariota, but it's just a matter of who and where. I think that's the missing piece right now, because once you slot Mariota, I think the other pieces of the top 10 kind of fall into place, but there's just so many different scenarios for Mariota, ranging from the Titans at number two, maybe even the Buccaneers at number one. I don't think it's any coincidence that those two teams started hearing Mariota's name mentioned in regards to the Bucs and the Titans in recent days, because he's the trade chip. He's the guy that's going to elicit those trade offers. So I think the Tennessee Titans, for example, are doing their best to make teams believe they're really considering him, but I just don't think he's the type of quarterback Ken Whisenhunt is looking for. And if you're a team that is targeting Mariota and you agree with my assessment that the Titans aren't going to take him, well, you know, Oakland's not taking him the Jaguars aren't taking him at three. The Raiders aren't taking him at four. They got their quarterbacks a year ago. Well, it's a lot cheaper to move up to five than it is to move up to two. So it's just a matter of who's it going to be for Mariota. Is it going to be maybe it's the Chargers or the Bears or the Browns or the Eagles or any number of teams, maybe even the Jets? I mean, who knows? I think that's the big question mark that we still have to kind of pin down here in these last couple of weeks, because once we know where Mariota's going, I think everything else kind of makes sense, and we can probably do a pretty good job of forecasting that top 10, but that Mariota domino is going to have a ripple effect on everything else. So, for example, if he does go number two, well, then the Jaguars at three, we think they're going to take Dante Fowler, but what happens if Leonard Williams is there? At four, everyone thinks the Raiders are going to go for a wide receiver, but if Leonard Williams is there, that might be a different scenario. So that's the big missing piece. Where does Mariota land? But I do believe somebody is going to trade up for him. It's just a matter, like I said, of who and where.
Do you think a team gets desperate enough to trade up? You know, I've even heard some talks of some teams even going up to number one in trading for, you know, trading up for a quarterback. Do you think there's any team that could get desperate enough on draft day to go all the way up to number one?
I don't think so. But there should be more teams that are desperate, because unless you have a quarterback, nothing else really matters. As much as I like Leonard Williams, I think he's the best player in this class. I think he's a true blue chipper. He's the only player in this class that I gave my elite five-star grade to. But at the same time, J.J. Watt just had one of the greatest seasons in the history of the NFL for a defensive lineman, and his team didn't make the playoffs because they don't have a quarterback. So until you have a quarterback, you're just spinning your wheels. And that's why if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I would take Mariota at two. And I'm as reluctant with Mariota as anybody. I'm not a believer in spread quarterbacks that run, but I just have not seen enough from Zach Mettenberger to justify putting your job and your career on the line if you stick with him and it doesn't work out. I think the Titans is a perfect example of where somebody from the ownership or front office needs to step in and say, tell Ken Whisenhunt that we understand he might not be your perfect fit, but coaches are a dime a dozen. Potential franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And even when they do come along, odds are we're not going to be in position to draft him. So we better take advantage of this opportunity. And if Zach Mettenberger turns into a good player as well, all the better. But to me, if you pass on Mariota and you're the Titans and it doesn't work out with Mettenberger and you aren't able to or find another solution at that position, it's a borderline fireable offense. I just think you have to roll the dice. And like I say, this is coming from somebody who is very concerned about Mariota. He's not my style of quarterback either, but you have to take your shot. I'd much rather see somebody strike out swinging than stand there with the bat on their shoulder looking at strike three. And that's what some of these teams are doing. The Rams have been doing it for years. The Texans are kind of doing it now. I'll never fault a team for at least trying when it comes to the quarterback position, because until you have that resolved, you're not going anywhere. So, but Mariota, the thing too is, as reluctant as I am with him, he's so much better than the other options. I mean, it really falls off the cliff. If you don't get Winston Mariota, I think there's a very real chance you're not getting a starting quarterback in this class, because beyond those two, I think you're basically looking at long-term developmental guys or career backups. So of all years, if you're going to be aggressive when it comes to the quarterback position, this is the year to do it. And that's why somebody's going to trade up for Mariota. It's just a matter of what the cost is going to be and how far they're going to have to go up to get him.
You know, so opposite of quarterback, you know, the Jets, obviously the biggest need is quarterback, but probably the number two and the number three needs on the Jets right now is outside linebacker and offensive line. And, you know, let's say that the Jets take Dante Fowler in the first round, or they take a guy like Brandon Scherff in the first, and then in the second round they're looking for, you know, the outside linebacker offensive line that they didn't address. So who are some guys in the second round, you know, either an offensive lineman or an outside linebacker that the Jets could look to possibly fall there, or who would be good value in the top of the second round?
Well, there's going to be good value along the offensive line, I think, at the top of the second round. I wouldn't even be shocked if someone like T.J. Clemmings from Pittsburgh is still available early in round two. Cedric Abui from Texas A&M, who's coming off an injury, but before his senior season, there was talk about him going in the top 5 to 10 overall, so he might be a worthwhile guy to take a chance on. Jake Fisher from Oregon, I think, is on that first-round fringe. But then even a little further down, you have Jeremiah Petasi from Utah, Donovan Smith from Penn State in round 3. And this is just tackles I'm talking about. There's guards, A.J. Cann from South Carolina, Lakin Tomlinson from Duke, Trey Jackson from Florida State are all probably second-round picks. So there's going to be a lot of options if you're talking about offensive line. But pass rushers, they're going to go quick. Everyone's looking for them. And it's going to drop off the edge pretty quick. Now, there could be one where, fortunately for the Jets, they're picking early in the second round at 37. If they were picking at 47, I would say there's a good chance the well's going to be pretty dry by that point. But at 37, they might still have a chance at someone like Eli Harrell from Virginia, or Owomabi Odigizuwa from UCLA, Daniil Hunter from LSU. But pass rusher is not a position that you want to play around with. It's kind of like quarterback, where it's just so valuable. Everyone's looking for them. If you find one you like, you better just pull the trigger, because those pass rushers don't grow on trees. And that's why, even with Randy Gregory, for all the concerns there are about him, I still don't see him free falling on draft day. I think he still goes somewhere in the teens, worst case early 20s, because ultimately teams are willing to overlook a lot if you can rush the passer. Look at Greg Hardy, just got $13 million from the Cowboys again. If you can get after the quarterback, teams are going to forgive a lot of sins.
Scott, you know, when you look at Randy Gregory, we're talking with Scott Wright, by the way, from Draft Countdown. Do you see a type of player that, you know, that has, you know, obviously the off-the-field issues have, you know, hurt his draft stock, and he's been falling down the draft? I mean, this was a guy when draft season, you know, kind of opened for business after the football season was over, you know, that was projected to be it could be a top three pick. Now, he's been falling out of even the top 10 in some mock drafts. Do you think that this could be a type of situation where you have, like, you know, like a Dez Bryant, or a player that has tremendous talent that we're seeing that, you know, falling in the draft because of off the field issues? Do you think that the Jets could really get lucky by getting him at 6, even with the off the field issues?
A very good argument can be made that Randy Gregory is the top pure pass rusher in this class. And I got to admit, I'm kind of a sucker for that type of player, those long, rangy pass rushers. And Randy Gregory really looks the part. He's 6'4", just under 6'5", terrific athlete. Doesn't have great bulk, and he was only 235 at the combine, but I don't think that's necessarily a huge concern, because I think he is best suited to play on his feet in the NFL as a 3-4 outside linebacker. Whereas with Shane Ray from Missouri, watching him, I was pretty confident that he was going to have to be a 4-3 defensive end, and I think his workout results kind of confirmed that. But with Gregory, I think he was better playing on his feet than he was with his hand in the dirt at Nebraska. But maturity is a question. Very much boom or bust. And he failed his drug test at the scouting combine, which isn't the end of the line, obviously. Justin Houston failed his too, and he slid in the draft, but he wound up having 20-plus sacks this year. So Randy Gregory, you're talking about a potential $100 million type of talent. He's that good of a player, but the maturity is a real concern. there's a reason they call the drug test at the scouting combine the idiot test, because it's going to happen. It's not random. It's not, I might get tested. You know exactly when it is, and you are going to be tested. So to still fail that, that's a sign of poor decision-making. And teams, they're not even concerned that he's smoking pot. They're concerned that he wasn't responsible enough, and he failed the drug test because of it. But he's got a couple of things working in his favor. One, like I said, he can rush the passer, so teams will forgive a lot. But secondly, it's a new drug testing system and series of penalties in place now compared to, for example, what Josh Gordon was under. I believe they doubled the threshold for a positive test, and you get many more strikes before you face a lengthy suspension. And it's not that Gregory's a bad kid, I don't think. I think it's just immaturity. And you see some of the things, he's making some ripples on Twitter today, and I think he's tweeted about 50 times today or something like that. And rest assured, teams are tracking that. They follow these kids on social media, and there's going to be a note in his file that Randy Gregory is tweeting up a storm. He's on social media a lot. He said he wasn't too excited. Today he tweeted he was visiting New Orleans Saints, and he said he doesn't get all the fuss is about New Orleans. And, boy, if New Orleans isn't exciting enough for Randy Gregory, let's hope he doesn't end up the same here in Buffalo. My goodness. I mean, Green Bay, it's Mardi Gras. But Gregory, at a certain point, though, he's just going to be so much better than every other option available. You're going to have to roll the dice because the potential rewards are just going to far outweigh the risks. But he's one of those prospects in this draft. It could go one way or the other.
Okay, so for my last question, I wanted to get another two-parter for you, Scott. You know, I really respect your opinion on some of this stuff, and you're obviously very knowledgeable. So I wanted to get your opinion on two different things. And obviously, if it shakes out, like we said, and the Jets get, you know, an outside linebacker in the first and then an offensive lineman in the second, many Jets fans feel that the Jets need a receiving running back and a speedy wide receiver. So who are some of the guys they can look at in the third and fourth rounds for that type of thing? And also, obviously, the Jets, they don't have their fifth and sixth round picks. Obviously, a fifth was traded for Marshall, and then the sixth was for Percy Harvin. So who do you see as potential late-round steals in the seventh round? You know, obviously the guys are probably not going to come in and become starters, but guys who can come in and become role players or even key special team guys.
Well, running back's one of the strongest positions in this draft, and I actually think the sweet spot is going to be the middle rounds, round three, round four, round. I'd rather draft maybe the eighth running back this year than the first or second, just to maximize that value and get the runner at a fraction of the cost. But in my most recent mock draft, I had the Jets taking Tevin Coleman from Indiana in the second round, who I think would give them that big play dimension that they've been lacking at the running back position. Maybe an Amir Abdullah from Nebraska. He'd be a nice complement to Stephen Ridley, assuming he can stay healthy and not fumble the ball. So I think Amir Abdullah could be a possibility in round two, probably more closer to round three. In terms of late round guys, I like Michael Dyer from Louisville. I think he's a little bit underrated. Of course, he started out his career at Auburn before he ran into some trouble off the field, but this guy we've seen gets the job done against top competition. So I really like Michael Dyer. I think Terrence McGee from LSU is another intriguing late round runner, but just tremendous depth. And there's going to be running backs going undrafted this year that most years would be selected. In terms of speed receivers, there's a bunch of them. And if you're looking for a vertical threat on day two, I would say Devin Smith from Ohio State, Sammy Coates from Auburn, two guys who can really get down the field and threaten defenses vertically. Also, Philip Dorsett from Miami might be the fastest guy in this draft. He's a legit 4.3 runner, even though he doesn't have great size. Tyler Lockett, similar to Dorsett, kind of slight but extremely explosive, not only as a receiver but as a return man. But once again, just depth throughout. One interesting guy that I would look at on day three maybe is Stephon Diggs from Maryland, who I think is kind of a poor man's Percy Harvin to a certain degree, and a guy who just can't stay healthy, and that's the big concern with him. But you might be able to get Stephon Diggs in the fifth round, whereas if he had been healthy throughout his college career, he might have been, who knows, first, second, third round type of pick. He's a really talented kid. He just can't stay healthy. So that would be one sleeper I would look out for on day three at wideout.
Scott, you know, I mean, this is all just so interesting. It's amazing. It's so hard to predict the NFL draft. It's almost near impossible to, you know, figure out what's going to happen. I want to thank you so much for joining us. You know, your opinions, you know, it's fascinating when you dive deep into this draft to see the moving parts, and you know, you really do a great job over at Draft Countdown, and I want to, you know, thanks, just take a second and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words, and thanks for having me. I love talking draft.
All right. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
That was Scott Wright from Draft Countdown. On hold now, we have Jennifer. Jennifer is on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hey, who am I talking to right now? Because, you know, it's past my bedtime.
This, you're on Jet Nation Radio.
Okay, and who am I talking to? Are you the same one I argued with yesterday on Twitter?
That might have been Joe. Joe, did you argue with a Jennifer on Twitter?
Did you get my Elmo? Did you get my Elmo? Did you get my Rudolph? Did you get anything from me?
I don't believe that I argued with you on Twitter, and I know nothing about an Elmo or a Rudolph. I don't necessarily know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't get you. I'm in upstate New York. I don't get you on radio. I listen to ESPN most of the time, and I do like Boomer and Carton, and I follow them on Twitter. But, you know, I've only been on Twitter for like 4 months now, and I'm doing pretty good, I think. What?
Are you a Jets fan? Jennifer, are you a Jets fan? Do you like the Jets?
Oh, my God. Do I like the Jets? Are you kidding? Oh, that is an understatement for me. Oh, my God. How could you just say that? You just, like, you stabbed me in the heart just now. I can't believe you would say that to me.
I take it you're a big Jets fan then, Jennifer, right?
I think so. Yeah, I know so.
So who do you think the Jets are going to take in the draft, Jennifer?
Well, I think this guy, his name's Franks. He's an RPI grad.
Okay.
He actually was a med in bio chemic engineering, I think. And
gotcha.
He's a good kicker.
Uh-huh.
I think if the Jets do, and they have to do this because he has to be good in math. So good in math. He's smart. I would choose this guy, Franks. I would totally. 5 stars out there for Franks.
All right.
Yes, definitely.
Jennifer, how many games do you think the Jets are going to win this year?
I would say about 11.
11, okay. All right, hey, you know, that's confidence. That's fine. Hey, as long as you... Jennifer, listen, I would like to
say... I would say 7,
so
but you know what? I'm going to go 11. If they pick this man here, I think they'd go 11.
Jennifer, I'll make you a deal, okay?
If
the Jets take a kicker, Franks, who's good at math in the first round...
I will not be on this radio show.
That's my husband's name, by the way.
No,
you know, that's
me,
my husband's name.
Yeah. Well, who do you think the Jets are going to take in the first round of the draft, then?
If they were smart, I would take this one.
Okay.
I would take Franks.
If they take him, I will single-handedly buy you season tickets to the New York Jets for the next 10 years. Is that a deal?
Oh, for the next 10 years. Okay. They have to pick them. They have to pick this one, okay?
All right.
And, you know, I put it out there to Rex Ryan, Drunkard Rex, okay? And he knows about it, too, and Mike Tomlin knows about it. So there's going to be a little fight. And you know what? The Jets are going to pick this. I know it.
Right.
Within my heart, I know it.
Jennifer, I would like to thank you so much for really, you know, brightening my night here on Jet Nation Radio. I think Joe, you know, feels the exact same way. And I want to thank you so much for calling, okay? You have a great night,
okay,
all right?
Okay, and you know what? I want to send you a couple pictures. So, like, tweet me back so I can send you my Elmo and, you know, my Rudolph. Okay,
what's your Twitter account, Jennifer?
I don't know. My name's Jennifer Alfia. I don't know. I don't know if I'm even. You know, I'm out there.
I'll have Joe search for you. Thanks so much for calling, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, okay? Oh, my God. Brandon.
Joe.
Brandon. Wait. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is, you know, it's a campaign that we're running here on Jet Nation Radios that says do not get drunk on Tuesday nights in April, ladies and gentlemen.
Brandon, if we were sitting next to each other right now, for you keeping her going on taking a kicker, I think I would have probably punched you in the throat. So, supposedly we're taking a kicker now in the NFL draft. Her win total for the Jets was either going to be 11 or 7. Like, that's not a big jump. That was one of the most interesting calls we ever did. But I thank you though, because for those 5 minutes. No, I thank you, because for those 5 minutes, I was getting to see, you know, Matt Harvey pitch for the Mets. So thank you for that.
Oh, what? That was pure entertainment right there. That was funny stuff. I can't even. I was crying laughing in the beginning. I mean, listen, if you can't laugh when you get calls like that on Jet Nation Radio, I don't. Listen, she meant no harm. She called in. She wants to talk about the Jets. We don't discriminate anyone on Jet Nation Radio. We let you come on. We let you talk. Even if you're gonna say we're gonna take a kicker named Franks that's your husband in the first round of the draft, I don't care. It's fine. We're on Jet Nation Radio. We're gonna take a quick break. I don't know how we're gonna follow that up. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna talk about Stephen Ridley and the signing that the Jets made this week and how that affects them going forward at running back. Back after this.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Pack in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to StrategicPeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. StrategicPeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowd.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio, and I don't know how we're going to follow up Jennifer's call, But let's do it with some New York Jets talk. So the Jets ink a deal with Stephen Ridley, which, you know, I really like this move that the Jets made. I think, you know, obviously, you know, last year was a disappointing year for him. The big year he had in New England was 2012 when he had 290 attempts for 1,263 yards and 12 touchdowns. Last year, only 94 attempts and 340 yards. I think, I think Stephen Ridley, you know, has the ability to be a really, really good talent for the Jets. I mean, even 2013, you look at his 178 attempts for 773 yards and 7 touchdowns. You complement a season like that with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell, you're in business. I think this is the option the Jets really wanted in terms of, you know, a receiving back who can make catches out of the backfield. So overall, I think that this was a good signing. I think that they did a good job. And, do you disagree?
No, I'm not laughing at you. And I was listening to you the whole time. And I know I agree with you, but I found this Jenny person on Twitter, she's at the Jet Nation, and the picture of Elmo is Elmo in an A-Rod jersey with a Mickey Mouse poster behind him, and then the Rudolph is in a Red Sox jersey with arms. So I don't know, but to get to Ridley, I pulled that one. Ridley, 2012, 290 attempts, 4.4 average, 12 touchdowns. He ran very well. And people, you know, they think that this hampers the Jets from taking a running back, which it really doesn't. Maybe not in the second round. You're not looking at a guy like Abdullah or you know, a guy like a Coleman. But if you're in the fourth round, a guy like Langford is there, then you take him.
I'm sorry. This might be the funniest.
Can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's not a problem. Trust me, I couldn't stop laughing either. But no, it doesn't hamper the Jets from taking a running back. You could still take a receiving back in, you know, the third or fourth, or maybe even the seventh if there's, you know, receivers or offensive linemen they want to take in the third and fourth. People say that, you know, he fumbles the ball a lot, which he does. I don't think it's a fumbling problem. I think it's more of a little bit of an issue. There's a whole bunch of people who fumble more than him. I understand a guy like Marshawn Lynch runs the ball more, but Marshawn Lynch has fumbled the ball more times than him. You know, in 2013, his averages dropped a little bit to 178. He got in the doghouse a little bit with Bill Belichick. You know how he is with his players. And then in 2014, everybody's saying that his yards per carry, you know, average really dropped. It was 3.6, and yeah, I think a part of that was due to the fact that the offensive line at the beginning of the year was really hampered by injuries and moving around a lot. So in those first games, I believe the first six games, he had 94 attempts and he had no fumbles. He's kind of like a guy who's in between Powell and Ivory. Ivory's a power runner, obviously, and Powell's kind of an all around guy. Ridley doesn't catch the ball a lot because they had a guy like Vereen there, but Ridley can catch. He's not fast, but he's quick. He can make cuts. So he's kind of in the middle. He's really good insurance. Now you're looking at a running back position, Brandon, with Powell, who has one more year on his contract. We obviously just signed him. Ridley has a one-year deal. Ivory has a one-year deal. So this is really going to be an interesting situation to see who gets, you know, the most carries and see how this running back position really unfolds. But I like the move too. Obviously, it's for a low amount of money. I don't think the numbers came out yet. But I actually, when we played the Patriots a couple of times, I'm actually like, okay, well, they have a pretty solid running back in Ridley. So I'm happy to have him on the team. I'm actually pretty excited to see his first touchdown scored. If he scores a touchdown, I think he'd be a little bit disappointed if he didn't, where he does that little, you know, he draws a door with his fingers and kicks the door down. So I think it's a solid move, is what I can say.
And you know what, that, you know what I think comes down to his production? Sorry to cut you off there. But, you know, you know what I think comes down to his lack of production last year is, you know, the New England Patriots really became a running back by committee team last year. You know, you saw Ridley, you saw Vereen, you saw LeGarrette Blount, you saw so many different guys who stepped into that role. And, you know, it almost seemed like, okay, you fumble the ball and Bill Belichick's going to put you in the doghouse and you're never going to see the field again. I honestly think that in a bigger role with the Jets, you know, we've seen what he can do in a bigger role, and he's put some nice numbers up. I mean, this guy, you know, this running back, his numbers aren't awful. you know, in terms of outside of last year where he didn't get the touches. He's proven when he's given the touches, you know, 178 attempts, 773 yards, and 7 touchdowns. 2012, 290 attempts, over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. This guy can do it. When he's given the opportunities and he's given the touches, he can be a good NFL running back. And I think that the Jets bring him in here is huge. Plus, he got a Jets tattoo, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, people were, you know, really, really, you know, making fun of him for that. But I think he has a whole bunch of tattoos, and I think a guy like that who, you know, he's obviously going to a new NFL team, I think he just likes to kind of put what's happened on in his life on his body. So I really don't care about if he has a Jets tattoo. Yeah, it's cool, and I like how it's the old Jets symbol. But, you know, I can't believe that was even a story, and there's actually clicks for that. But, you know, obviously, yeah, like you said, in 2014 he played in 6 games, and he didn't get as many attempts in those 6 games, but obviously after those 6 games – he tore his ACL, and people are really worrying about the torn ACL. But, you know, a couple of years ago, Brandon, before Adrian Peterson tore his ACL, it was a really big injury. But then you see a guy like Adrian Peterson come back and dominate and only have, I mean, almost break the record for rushing yards, you know, a couple of years after that. It's not as big as an injury. You see Darrell Revis. You see a whole bunch of guys with torn ACLs now. It's almost like a sprained ankle, so I'm really not worried. Obviously, it's not really like a sprained ankle. But, you know, I'm not too worried about the torn ACL. And it just adds to what they've been doing the whole entire time. There's going to be a bunch of competition right now. It seems like by the time that, you know, they have the 90-man roster cutter or whatever number it is, I forget exactly right now, a whole bunch of people who you think were going to be on this team when they first signed are not going to be on this team. Obviously not guys like Buster Screen or guys like Cromartie, but when you see guys like James Brewer and Corey Hillier, and you see Vickerson, you see these guys, a lot of these guys are not going to be on the team. He's the 16th new player that the Jets signed. We have 10 one-year contracts. That might actually be 11 now. With a guy who I actually want to talk about now too, is a guy in Doosable who, you know, after Vickerson and Stephen Bowen signed, it really seemed like Leader Doosable was going to leave the team, and everybody was saying that he wasn't a prototypical defensive end / D tackle in Todd Bowles' defense, and he signed for a 1-year, $1.18 million deal. And, you know, I'm actually really happy about this. It's not, you know, we don't have to talk about it a whole bunch, Brandon, but the guy had 25 tackles, 2.5 sacks last year, and he only played about 30% of the snaps. So when he's actually in, he is one of the, I'm not a Jets homer, but when he is one of the best backups at the defensive end D tackle spot in the NFL. So I'm really happy that we signed Doosable back. I just want to know how you feel about, you know, signing Doosable back and then what I said about Ridley.
Well, you have to kind of keep, in terms of Doosable, I think you don't want to completely, you don't want to, you know, disarray your locker room. You don't want to, you know, go into here, you know, without face. You know, you don't, some guys like the idea of seeing familiar faces and players that you know and friends and stuff outside of football and everything like that. And you want to keep some group of guys together from the team before. I mean, the Jets had so much turnover in terms of their roster that you want to keep guys that do it when nobody's watching, you know, when you're getting blown out or, you know, when you're in a tight game and you have a sub and, you know, you need these guys to come in and make a play. These guys do it. So I think, you know, Doosable is a good signing, you know, for them to, you know, keep him back here, you know, bring him back with this team, new coach. You know, he was obviously, you know, a big Rex Ryan supporter, and a lot of people thought he was going to go play for him up in Buffalo, you know, but he's staying with the Jets. And, you know, coming back on another deal here. So I think that's a good signing. And, you know, with Stephen Ridley, I agree. I think that, you know, I look at it from this point of view. Whenever you're taking a guy out of New England that was that was productive and bringing him to the Jets, that's a win. And, you know, when you're in the Jets and you're on the offensive side of the ball, put it to you this way. You know, if there's a backup who could be a starter on another team, on a good team, you know, if you look at Seattle and, you know, you look at some of these teams that have, you know, their backups could be very, very, you know, good starters on other football teams. And the Jets can bring in a guy like this who has proven that he can put up the numbers when he's given the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where it comes down to. You know, a New England Patriots backup running back might be a New York Jets star. And, you know, it's almost – And that's where the productivity needs to come from, because you're not going out and you're not, you know, you don't have the ability to say, okay, you know, we have a top tier guy. You know, bring in a guy who's, you know, proven that he has had some success. When given the opportunities and the touches, he can be productive, and let him see what he does. Because now you're talking about an offense that's going to have Steven Ridley, Chris Ivory, and Bilal Powell in the backfield. You might even add a running back in the draft. I don't know if they're going to carry, you know, I don't know if they're going to go with a four-headed attack in terms of a running game. But then you look at, you know, it brings up so many options. I mean, this guy scores touchdowns. You know, he's not, you know, when it comes to scoring touchdowns for a running back, you know, he's got seven in 2013 and 12 in 2012. So yeah, I think he can be very productive.
Yeah, and then, you know, you talk about Doosable possibly being a starter on another team, like a guy like Kendrick Ellis, who actually might go and start for the Giants, or to see how that shapes up. And with a running back position, you know, you also have a guy who's our fourth running back. Obviously, I don't think he's probably going to practice squad or get picked up on another team. But don't overlook a guy like Daryl Richardson, who was a starter for a couple of games on the Rams. And you look at, you know, that trend of old starters who are on other teams on Jets now. I know they're a little bit older, but you look at Lattimore. He started a couple of games at linebacker for the Packers. And obviously, we didn't even talk about this, but, you know, we signed a guy in Joe Mays who started 13 games in 2013 for the Texans. He started in 2011 for the Broncos. And I remember, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know too much about Joe Mays. The only thing I remember about him is in 2012 when he knocked Matt Schaub's head off and his ear almost fell off. So, you know, to have a guy like him who started a whole bunch of games that are as our potential fourth or fifth inside linebacker, obviously we won't carry five. You look at a guy like Lattimore, and you look at a guy like Aaron Henderson in 2012 had 120 tackles or something like that. So, you know, there's definitely depth on this team. And, you know, Brandon, before we close out, I definitely just wanted to quick talk. I mean, I got a little bit of that, you know, the juice from the older caller. But, you know, Kopfel's his fifth year option was picked up. So I wanted to know how you felt about the fifth year option being picked up, because I feel like it's, you know, it's a good move for the Jets. They can obviously cut him next year with no penalty before the 53-man roster is set. So I think it's them showing a little bit of faith into Kopfel's. Obviously, we're giving him a year extension if he performs well this year. And, you know, you look at what he's done. Obviously, I think people who call him a bust is definitely an overstatement right now. I think he's been more successful than people have really looked at. In 2012, he had 5.5 sacks. He obviously had to learn a new position. 2013 was more of an injury-ridden year. You know, he was very slow until the last couple of games against the Saints and the Browns and teams like that. And 2014, you had the guy jamming wide receivers in coverage, and he still had 6.5 sacks. I think Todd Bowles is really going to put this guy's hand in the dirt a lot and really just have him rush the quarterback. I don't think you'll be seeing a lot of, you know, Kopfel's, who's, what, 6'6", 290 pounds, covering, you know, or jamming wide receivers or trying to go out into the flat or play, you know, a shallow zone. I think he's going to be rushing the passer a lot this year. And I believe we talked about it in a previous show, but the two guys I expect to improve the most would be on the defense, at least, is a guy like Kopfel's who's going to be rushing the passer all the time. I can see a guy like him having, you know, maybe 8 to 9 sacks, you know, and it's only a sack and a half upgrade over last year. To say the guy's a bust is a little bit of an overstatement. We just have to see if he's worth. I believe the extension is $7.8 million or somewhere close to that. It might be 7.6. So I think they're showing a little bit of faith in him. I really am excited to see what he can do in Todd Bowles' defense this year.
Absolutely. I think that you can never have enough depth. The Jets are in need of it. It's not like they have a plethora of outside linebackers right now. And you're going into it, you know, with a new coach. So you have to be able to bring a guy like this in. You have to keep, you know, Kopfel's. I wouldn't call him a bust either. I think he's, you know, shown some signs of being very productive here. I think for where they took him in the draft, you know, he might have been a stretch. I think so. But, you know, when you're getting that, when you're a first round selection like that, you know, it comes with high expectations. And has he met the expectations of being a first-round pick? I don't think so. But, you know, overall, I think he's
definitely
a nice
potential.
Definitely. And I think that he, you know, has been a nice addition to the Jets defense. But, you know, when you're a first-round pick like that, you want to be the cornerstone of a defense. That's what you're expected to be. And he just hasn't turned the corner there yet. But I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I want to remind everybody that Jet Nation Radio is proudly sponsored by Mile Social. Mile manages your social media so you can focus on running your business. Please visit milesocial.com for more information. And if you want to, just if you want to, go check out the picture of Elmo in an Alex Trebek.
I'm going to need a full week to recover from that, Brandon.
This is Jennifer, who called us tonight. Her Twitter handle is Jenny Sue. It's HOFFAYJH. She follows Jet Nation Radio. And the picture that she is referring to is Elmo in an Alex Rodriguez jersey. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to remind you, Rudolph in the Red Sox jersey. We don't care about Boston on this. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in the show. Remember, the sports talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. It's always continuing around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding with new users every single day. For more information and let your voice be heard, go on over to JetNation.com. Get in the forums. Talk some football, talk some Jets, talk some draft. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.